Chapter 11. The demon, trapped in the summoning circle, screamed, slamming its crab-like pinchers against the unseen barrier, hurling its chitinous shoulders from side to side in an effort to escape the confinement. It couldn't. I kept my will on the circle, kept the demon from being able to burst free. "Satisfied, Chauncey?" I asked it. The demon straightened its hideous form and said, in a perfect Oxford accent,
"Quite. You understand, I must observe formalities."
Then it took a pair of wholly incongruous wire-frame spectacles from beneath a scale and perched them upon the beak-like extremity of its nose.
"You have questions?"
I let out a sigh of relief and sat down on the edge of the work table in my lab. I had cleared away all the clutter from around the summoning ring in the floor, and I'd have to move it before I could clamber out of my lab, but I didn't like to take chances. No matter how comfortable Sean Zagaroth and I were with our working relationship, there was always a chance I could have messed up the summoning. There were rules of protocol that demonic beings were obliged to follow. One of them was offering resistance to any mortal wizard who'd called them. Another was doing their best to end the life of the same wizard, should they be able to escape the confines of the circle. All in all, squeezing information from fairies and spirits of the elements was a lot easier and safer, but Bob had turned up nothing in his search among the local spirits. They weren't always up on information to be had in the city, and Bob now resided in his skull again, exhausted and unable to help any further. So I'd gone to the underworld for assistance. They know when you've been bad or good, and they make Santa Claus look like an amateur. "I need information about a man named Harley MacFinn, Chauncey, and about something he was working on called the Northwest Passage Project." Chauncey clacked his pinchers pensively.
"I see. Presuming I have this information, what is it worth to you?"
"Not my soul," I snorted. "Don't even start with that. Look, I could dig this up myself in a few days." Chauncey tilted his head, bird-like.
"Ah, but time is of the essence, yes?
Come now, Harry Dresden. You do not call upon me lightly. The possible dangers, both for myself and from your own white council, are far too great."
I scowled at him. "Technically," I said, "I'm not breaking any of the laws of magic. I'm not robbing you of your will, so I'm clear on the fifth law, and the need for this calling is perfectly legitimate, so I'm clear of the fourth law. The council can bite me." The bone ridges above Chauncey's eyes twitched.
"Surely that is merely a colorful euphemism rather than a statement of desire."
"It is." Chauncey pushed the glasses a bit higher up on his nose.
"The moral and ethical ramifications of your attitudes are quite fascinating, Harry Dresden. I am continually amazed that you remain in the council's good graces, knowing full well that most of the council would look the other way while their enforcers killed you, should they learn that you have willfully brought a demon into this world. You still summon me not once, but half a dozen times. Your attitudes are much more contiguous with those of many of my brethren in the world below."
"And I should throw in with your side? Accept the dark powers, etc., etc.?" I finished for him with a sigh. "Hell's bells, Chauncey. Why do you keep on trying to sucker me into signing with the down below, huh?" Chauncey shrugged his bulky shoulders.
"I admit it would give me no small amount of status to gather a soul of your caliber into our legions," he said. "Additionally, it would free me from the onerous duties that make even these excruciating visits to your world seem pleasant by comparison."
"Well, you aren't getting my soul today," I told him. "So make me a counteroffer, or we can call a close to this negotiations and I can send you back." The demon shuddered.
"Yes, very well. Let's not be hasty, Mr. Dresden. I have the information you need. Additionally, I have more information of which you are not aware, and which would be of great interest to you, and which, I judge additionally, may help to preserve your life and the lives of others. Given the situation, I do not think the price I will ask inappropriate. I wish another of your names."
I frowned. The demon had two of my names already. If he gained my whole name, from my own lips. He could use it in any number of magical applications against me. That didn't particularly disturb me. Demons and their ilk had great difficulty in reaching out from the Never-Never, the spirit world beyond the physical one we inhabit with sorcery. But Sean Zagaroth was a popular source of information among wizards who went to the underworld in need of it. What bothered me was the possibility that one of them would get it. Chauncey was correct. There were a lot of people on the White Council who would be happy to see me dead. If one of them got my name, there was a chance they would use it against me, either to kill me or to magically force me to do something that would openly violate one of the seven laws and have me brought to trial and killed. On the other hand, Chauncey never lied to me. If he said he had information that could save people's lives, he had it, and that's all there was to it. Hell, he might even know who the killer was, though a demon's grasp of individual human identity could be somewhat shaky. I decided to gamble. "Done," I said. "All pertinent information on the subject of my inquiry in exchange for another of my names." Chauncey nodded once.
"Agreed."
"All right," I said. "Let's have the information on MechFin and the Northwest Passage Project."
"Very well," Chauncey said.
"Holly MechFin is an heir to a considerable fortune made in coal mining and railroads at the turn of the 20th century. He is one of the 10 richest men in the country known as the United States. He served during the police action in Vietnam, and when he returned to this country, he began divesting himself of business interests, merely accruing capital. His favorite color is red. His shoe size..."
"We can skip the little details unless you think they'll be really relevant," I said. "I could hear about his favorite food and his problems in middle school all day, but it wouldn't help anything." I got out my notebook and started taking notes.
"As you wish," Chauncey assented. "The object of his endeavors for the past several years has been the Northwest Passage Project. The project is an effort to buy enormous tracts of land, beginning in the central Rocky Mountains of the American Southwest and moving northwest into Canada, to provide for an enormous migratory-sized preserve for North American wildlife."
"He wants to make his own private playground out of the Rocky Mountains," I blurted.
"No, Harry Dresden. He wishes to acquire the lands that are not already owned by the government, then donate them, provided the government guarantees that they will be used as a part of the Northwest Passage Project. He has considerable backing from the environmentalist groups throughout the country, and support in your capital as well, provided he can get the land."
"Wow," I said, impressed. "You said he has a lot of support. Who wants to stop him?"
"Industrial interests still looking to expand into the Northwest," Chauncey said.
"Let me guess. James Harding III was one of them," I said, already writing it down.
"How did you know?"
Chauncey asked. "He was killed by a werewolf last month along with his bodyguard. Several of the people died as well." Chauncey beamed.
"You are a clever man, Harry Dresden."
"Yes. James Douglas Harding III was exceptionally interested in blocking MacFin's efforts to acquire property. He came to Chicago to have negotiations with MacFin, but died before they were complete."
I closed my eyes for a minute, thinking.
"Okay. Harding comes to town to talk with MacFin.
Harding's in cahoots with Marconi, so maybe Marconi is hosting the talks. Harding and his bodyguard get et all up by a werewolf, so
MacFin's the werewolf in question?"
Chauncey smiled, a rather intimidating expression.
"MacFin is a member of an ancient family line from an island known as Ireland. His family has a notable history. Sometime in the murky past, legend would have it, a man known as St. Patrick cursed his ancestor to become a ravening beast at every full moon. The curse came with two addenda. First, that it would be hereditary, passing down to someone new each and every generation. And second, that the cursed line of the family would never, ever die out, lasting until the end of days."
I wrote that down as well and snorted.